ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have started studying the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan's own song, song of the divine. This 10th chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga. It has 42 verses, and the main content of this chapter is that the glories of the divine Lord are explained by Lord himself, not by others. For what purpose? For people like us to contemplate upon, so that we can slowly become purified or of our impure minds and slowly move towards the Divine Lord. As I mentioned earlier in my past class, particularly with regard to this 10th chapter, the whole Bhagavad Gita is a teaching of the Lord geared to guide every spiritual aspirant, sadhaka, towards the ultimate goal of being a bound creature to completely free creature. I am Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupaha. My nature is, I am eternally free, eternally pure, eternally existent. I am eternal and pure knowledge. I am Brahman. So, Bhagavad Gita, that means Lord Krishna, guides us in three ways. He divided all the sadhakas. Mind you, we are not talking about ordinary worldly people. We are talking about spiritually oriented people have been divided into three categories. Those of little understanding like babies, those of much better understanding like that of young people, and those who understand much, much better like the aged people. This has nothing to do with physical age, but something to do with the growth of our understanding. This beautiful concept has been very neatly expressed, very succinctly and pithily expressed by Hanuman, which Sri Ramakrishna quotes. We all know the shloka. Deha buddhya tu dasoham, jiva buddhya tadamshakaha, atma buddhya tvamevaham, iti me nischita matihi. When I am convinced that I am separate from you, I am the body and you are the pure consciousness, then I am the servant, you are the my master, you are God, you are my master. You are the ruler, I am the ruled. When the same person progresses in spiritual life, he acquires much better understanding. Then he says, I am not separate from God. I am not mere body and mind. I am also that pure consciousness, but not the whole, just a small bit. So, I am the part, you are the whole. Jiva buddhya tvadamshaka. I am a tiny part of you. This entire universe of jivas, jagat, is a tiny part of you. You are the whole and we are the parts. Like each cell in our body, the whole body is whole, but every cell is a small part. But the body consists of all a combination of all these entire body of cells, billions and billions. But there comes a time that God cannot be divided into two. I may feel I am separate from God. By that very thought, I am also separating God. That means I am making the infinite as finite. And that is not a very good thing at all. So, tvamevaham, when I know I am pure Atman, I and you are one, there is no I, there is no you, whatever is there is one. In this Bhagavad Gita, the entire teaching is divided into three levels for these three levels of students. For the first people who are completely identified with body mind, it is you have to be a dasa, servant, worship God, go on pilgrimages, bow down every day, and etc. Rituals take place, a most important part. But when the same person feels, I am part of God, then the same external worship now transforms itself into internal worship called upasana, contemplation, or meditation. So in the first stage, that a picture, an icon, or an image, all these are taken advantage to come nearer to God. But in the second stage, he doesn't require it. I am one ray, you are the sun, I am one ray of the sun. You are the complete fire, I am one spark. You are the ocean and I am a small drop. When this understanding comes, and the understanding is much better now, and when such a person opens his eyes, he doesn't merely see God in the picture, icon, image, temple, holy place. Wherever he sees, first of all, any greatness, any speciality, any depth knowledge, any talent that ordinary people do not have, but some people have. Best sprinter, best runner, best high jumper, best scholar, best scientist, best musician, best cook, best mountain, best river, best tree, best time of the season, everything very, very best. Then such a person invariably attains to that second stage. Wherever he sees Vishwarupa Darshana, he sees himself as a part, but he sees God also as the whole. And wherever his eyes fall, at first he sees God only in special things. For example, there are hundreds of Venkateshwara temples, hundreds of Kali temples, hundreds of Krishna temples, hundreds of Rama temples, etc. Hundreds of Ramakrishna temples. But when a person says Tirupati, the best Venkateshwara temple, there, what is the idea? Why best? Not because of the building. In fact, some temples are much bigger than Tirupati temple. But the presence of the Lord is much greater in Tirupati. That's what some devotees find. So also the Calcutta Kali temple or Dakshineswar Kali temple, the manifestation, the presence felt there, these two places are greater than at other places. So we see a special manifestation of God. So Ramakrishna temple, when we go to Vrindavan, or we go to Guruvayur, then we see the greatest presence of Lord Krishna. When we go to Ayodhya, then we see the greatest presence of Rama. When people go to Bethlehem, they see the greatest manifestation of Jesus Christ. So when they go to Kapilavastu, then they see the greatest manifestation of Buddha. So this is what we have to understand, that where first of all, the second type of spiritual aspirant with greater and deeper understanding about himself and about God sees God in the best manifestation in this world itself, among human beings living as well as non-living, etc. But when the same person goes still further, then he not only sees Brahman, not only in special objects, special people, special places, he sees God everywhere, with closed eyes, with open eyes, in meditation, out of meditation, sarvam brahmamayam jagat, in friends, in enemies, in parents, in good people, in evil people, everywhere he sees. To the first type of level of student, God is the creator and I am the creator. I am small, God is big. Therefore, dasa bhava. For the second type of person, he opens his eyes, sees Vishwarupa, Vishnu, everywhere. This 10th chapter, having enumerated all his special manifestations, the Lord is actually going to give a felt experience, a living experience to Arjuna in the 11th chapter. That's why it is called Vishwarupa Sandarshana yoga. So, in this second chapter, the Lord is elaborating how he could be recognized. That means, how a devotee can see him directly, God, through his glories. Wherever we see a speciality that doesn't belong to that person, that belongs to the Divine Lord, it is like a small pipe giving small volume of water, big pipe giving a huge amount of water. But the same person will progress by God's grace, and he sees that the whole universe and beyond the universe, and the manifested, the unmanifested, that which is seen, that which is invisible, everything is God, Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. In the second stage, God is not the creator only, God is the manifesting. What is the difference? Potter creates a pot. Potter is different, pot is different. But in this second stage, it is not God is creator, but God is manifesting. The potter is manifesting at the pot, the carpenter is manifesting as the furniture, the goldsmith is manifesting as different ornaments. So God himself has made himself human beings, living, non-living, animals, birds, the eaters, the eaten, the good people, the bad people, everything. We are going to discuss a little bit about it very soon. But that is not the complete spiritual end. We have to move further. And such a person, he sees there is no I, there is no you, everything is God, absolutely there is no difference. In the second stage also, a man with greater knowledge and a man with lesser knowledge, a man more powerful, a man less powerful, all these differences will be there. Even though what Sri Ramakrishna says, all water is God, but some water is only fit for washing clothes, some for drinking, some for worshipping God in the temple, but some water cannot even be touched. That is an important part. But everything is water, Apo Narayanaha. But in the third stage, as the mad cap Brahmagnani tells to Hriday, when you find this sewage ditch, dirty water is as sacred, as holy as the Ganges water that is flowing nearby, know for certain that you have attained the culmination, the epitome of your spiritual progress, and you are a Jivan Mukta. That's what we have to understand. So, we are in the second stage. The Lord is rather teaching for the second level of students. Wherever you see something great, you know that two things. First of all, it doesn't belong to that person. Second, that person is only a conduit, an instrument, and it is the God who is manifesting. Like the electricity manifesting in the bulb as light, in the fan as motion, and in the magnet as attractive power, and in the heater as heat. But there are also differences. Small heater, small fan, big fan, and small bulb, 5 watt bulb and 50,000 watt bulb. So also first to see it is the same electricity, then later on you see everything as the Divine Lord himself. So this is what we are going to discuss it. This third stage is there is no difference between me and you. Aham Brahmasmi, Tvam Aham Asi, you are me and I am you. As if God has not created, God has not manifested, but God appears as the universe. Until our maya disappears, our ignorance, ajnana is destroyed, then we see the whole world is nothing but Brahman with name and form and qualities and nothing else. This particular philosophical theory is called Vivartavada. So, Dvaitavada, Visishtadvaitavada, corresponding to the first and second stages. Third stage is Advaitavada, where first stage, God created me, I am separate from God. Visishtadvaita state, God is manifesting, including me and what is in me. Everything is manifestation of God, and each one of us, everything in this universe is part of God. But in this Advaita, last stage, not the third stage, it is the last stage. There is no fourth stage. In this last stage, it is Brahman as creator, and as non-Brahman, as no creation. But he appears like a rope appears in semi-darkness as a snake, like silver appears in a seashell, like water appears in a desert land as mirage. It is all appearance. This is called Vivartavada. Vivarta means appearance. Vada means theory. The theory of everything appears. Appears means what? Really, in that rope there is no snake. The snake is not in the rope. The snake is in my mind, in my brain, in my understanding. So there is no use beating that snake or rope. Beat your own head. Let me beat my own head. Then I become awakened. I bring light. I see that it is a rope, and all the effects of the snake, seeing a snake, fear, trepidation, high blood pressure, everything disappears. In this particular chapter, the Lord himself with his own mouth is trying to teach to the second class students, second level of students, how to recognize him. What purpose? So that these glories can be contemplated upon by devotees, and there are so many, so we have a choice. Whichever we want, just focus upon that, one, two, or many, but usually on one of them. For example, Guru or an avatara. An avatara is none other than God only. Is only appearance of a body, is nothing but Brahman in the guise of appearance of as if jata iva, human body, human mind. Inside, there is nothing but God. So, in this 10th chapter, aptly called Vibhuti. Vibhuti means glories of the God, manifestation of the glories of God. It is this second stage of spiritual development, and here we are supposed to recognize God, see God, the manifestation of God in this universe, in special people, special places, special times, and special objects, etc. And Arjuna understands it, accepts it. Arjuna means each one of us. And in the next chapter, really, Sri Krishna shows Vishwarupa Sandarshana Yoga that this is not mere theory, but that is the reality. But then the tragedy was Arjuna's mind was not so high. The lesson we have to learn is we can demand God to show himself. He can also show himself. But if we do not have that purity, that capacity, soon he will disappear, like he disappears from amidst the gopis, like he disappeared from Arjuna's mind after being requested, like he disappeared from the mind of Vaikunthanath Sanyal when he was unable to bear, like he disappeared from Madhur Babu's vision as a bhava, like he disappeared from Swami Brahmananda's vision, from Swami Vivekananda's vision. Innumerable examples are there. We will quote them, highlight them when the right time comes. So these glories expressed in this 10th do not really exhaust, because there are as many objects in this world, so many are the glories of God. And every object is not like any other object. It may look similar. No two leaves are alike. No two hairs are alike. No two snowdrops are alike. But we cannot see God all of a sudden in everything. So the Lord points out a great mountain, a great sun, a great spring season, a great rishi, a great muni, etc., etc. With this background, if we go, it's easier for us to understand. So why contemplate? The Lord says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam budhaha bhava samanvitaha. The Lord in the 8th verse of this 10th chapter says, I am the origin, I am the creator of the entire universe. Sarvam matta pravartate. Everything comes out of me. Therefore, everything contains my nature and no other nature. That is the thus knowing, budhaha, wise people, bhava samanvitaha, endowed with bhava, means bhakti, means jnana, that my body belongs to God, mind belongs to God. If I see anything special in this world, that also belongs to God. Iti matva, with that feeling, they worship me. That means, O Lord, I don't see you directly, but whenever I see the Everest, I know it is your manifestation. When I see Ganga Nadi, I see your manifestation. When I see a great banyan tree, Ashwatha Sarovar Vrikshanam, and that is your manifestation. Then why do I say all these things? The Lord is telling, Tesham eva anukampa artham aham ajnanajam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. The Lord is declaring further, Tesham, there are such people who are completely mesmerized by me, by my knowledge, and they become my devotees, and they get the highest joy from me. They don't want to have anything else, even if I offer them even the highest Brahma's position. They will throw it out, kick it out, reject it, like the filth of a crow. But I want to help them to come to me, to become one with me, to be forever with me, as me. Tesham anukampadham, out of compassion for them, aham, me the Divine Lord, he is Krishna, is telling, I am not Krishna, I am Brahman, but I am giving you this teaching because you are not able to, will be recognized or even bear if Brahman comes. It is not possible. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Yugapat Vuthitaha. If a billion suns at the same time rise up and come in front of me, I will go blind. So for such people, what do? I describe all these glories so that they can contemplate upon me in the form of these glories. For example, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwara. That is how we start. Then, what is the purpose? Aham Tesham Ajnanajam Tamaha. The avidya, ignorance, tamaha means darkness of ignorance, I want to destroy it. How? Nashayami Atma Bhavata. I manifest myself in them. In what form? Bhasvata Jnana Deepena. In the form of brilliantly lit light. What light? It is the light. It is the effulgence of knowledge. Bhasvata. The moment you bring light, all, even Sri Ramakrishna says, 1,000 years of darkness in a room, it won't take 1,000 years, 100 years, 1 year, 1 day, 1 second. The moment light comes, it just disappears. So I am doing it out of compassion so that they can contemplate me and purify themselves and slowly come to me, understand they are me, and forever abide in me as me. Then Arjuna, naturally, after hearing this, he was overcome with Shraddha that whatever you say, O Lord, is correct. So he is requesting in verse 17 of this particular chapter, Katham vidyamaham yogim swam sada parichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintiyosi bhagavan maya. Bhagavan, O Lord, you are not Sakha, you are not Krishna, you are not Yadava. Hey Krishna, he Yadava, he Saketi, Prasabham Yaduktam. Sometimes I addressed you because I was ignorant. I was sitting, eating, sleeping, talking with Parabrahman himself in the form of Krishna. Even Brahman could not, Brahmadeva could not understand it. You know that story. He came to Vrindavan, had doubts about Krishna. He had all the gopas, gopis, cows, calves, everything. And Krishna laughed and said, I will break your foolishness. He assumed exactly the form of all those animals, children, and happily returned. Something I cannot restrain myself explaining to you or just mentioning to you. That day, Brahma hid the cows, and the cowherd boys, everything. That day, instantaneously, Krishna assumed all their forms, and then he returned. Some magic happened that day. Previous days, the mothers of these cowherd children, they were not too eager to see their children. But the Bhagavatam describes it so graphically. That day, all these gopis, they were anxiously looking like a mother cow which feels the hunger of its calf and wants to feed, but the calf is somewhere else. Like that, they go in and out, and then 1,000 times, where is my child? Who is not coming? And then when they see the child, they could not hold themselves. They run, embrace deeply, tears are running. They kiss the child all over, even though that fellow was full of dust, etc. And this joy that they are getting, that particular day, they themselves could not understand. It was all Vishnumaya, and this went on every day. They could not part them early in the morning. They could not wait for them to come in the evening. The cows became like living devatas. The cows became the sweetest in this world. The milk became the sweetest in this world, better than even what is called payasam. They could not understand. Even God did not break that mystery. 6 months passed. Brahma came back, and then he saw everything was going on normally. Every day these fellows are joyously playing like before. He was surprised. Did these boys escape somehow? He went inside the cave, and the door was completely locked as before. And he saw all the Gopa boys were sleeping, deep slumber, and all the cows, calves, everything was under his hypnotic spell. He came out. He saw the same thing outside. Then he understood. This is none other than the Divine Lord. He is my Father who created me. I did not understand him. Who can understand him? Ke tumare jante pare, tumi na janale pore. O Mother, O Ramakrishna, who can understand you if you do not yourself reveal yourself to us? And he went. There's a beautiful Brahma Stuti in the Bhagavatam Dashamaskanda. Beautiful spiritual experiences. So what is my point? That not only Krishna was assuming the form of the gopas and then cows and calves only for 6 months. In fact, even before, it was Krishna who was the gopis, who was the gopas, who were the cows, who were the trees, who were the Jamuna, who every particle of the dust of that Vrindavan is nothing else but Divine Mother. But I should not say only Vrindavan. The whole universe is a vibration of the Divine Lord with name, form and qualities. That's what we need to understand slowly. And we do understand this Jagat Satyam, Brahma Satyam, excepting Brahman, nothing else is there. So Arjuna requests, O Lord, I am an ordinary person. When I see something special, I would like to immediately think of you. Your thought must come. This person is a great singer. Oh, my Krishna, my Ishtadevata, my Ramakrishna is manifesting through this. So, oh Lord, katham vidyamaham, how can I recognize you? And I want to think of you and nothing else. Sada parichintayan. Wherever I see, everywhere there is some greatness, somewhere or other, some form or the other, so for some time or other. Sada parichintayan, keshu keshu cha bhaveshu, in how many different ways. Bhagavan, maya chintya asi, you are made to be thought by me, I want to think of you. But whatever I think, every thought, there may be 1,000 thoughts, but they must all be about you. How is it possible? I see a musician. That is God. I see a great wrestler. That is God. I see a great bull. That is also Krishna. I see a great cook. That is also Krishna. I see a great tree. That is Krishna. I see Tulasi. That is Krishna. I see Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, every mountain, Himalaya, Meru, Tirupati, Tirumalai, Shabarimalai. Everything is the manifestation of God, not to speak of every human being. You see a child, the innocence, that is the innocence of God. You see an intelligent person, that is also intelligence of God. You see a very great wicked person doing so much of evil, that is also the greatness of God. How do you know? Because we discussed it in our last class. I hope you will remember, but do not worry, I will remind you now. So he asks, O Lord, you yourself teach me. And the Lord promised, yes, certainly, right now, I am going to teach you my glories. So he says, who says? The Lord says to Arjuna, 19th verse, Hantate kathayishyami divyahyatma vibhutayah prathanyatah kurusreshta nastyantah istarasyame. No person, however great, can know me, for I pre-exist all, knowing me as the unoriginated, knowing everything else as originating from me, and external Lord of all. Man becomes knowing me as unoriginated, and as this universe, every man becomes sinless and free from delusions. All the higher faculties of man are but a faint reflection of my excellences. All great men, saints and saviors are indeed projections of my thought. Hanta, indeed, te kathayishyami, I am going to expound to me. What? Ibhutayaha, my glories. What type of glories? Divyaha, atma, my glories. Excepting me, nothing exists. Even he says in this, that Pandavanam Dhananjaya, O Arjuna, you think you are you? No, no. Among Pandavas, I manifested mostly in you. How do we know? Because I am not telling this, teaching this Gita to neither Yudhishthira, nor Bhima, nor Nakula, nor Sahadeva. I am only telling you because you are the greatest among the Pandavas. Pandavanam Dhananjayaha. So, for my vibhuti is nasti antaha. There is no end. Pistarasya. There, whatever you see, it is expanded. Everything is my. But pradhanyataha, just most important, that too very few. So many important things are there. But I will just tell you a few. Kuru Shrestha, or best among the lineage of Kuru, I am indeed going to tell you. Then we come back to our class. In our last class, what did we do? We studied God as the internal universe, as different ideas, both right and wrong, good and evil. Let us briefly recollect. Buddhir jnanam asammohaha kshama satyam damaha shamaha sukham dukham bhavo abhavo bhayam cha abhayam eva cha. Buddhi, jnana, asammoha, kshama, satya, damaha, shamaha, sukham, dukham, bhavaha, abhavaha, bhayam and avayam. Is that the end? No. Ahimsa, samata, tushtihi, tapaha, dhanam, yashaha, ayashaha. Total about 20. All these qualities, ideas, they are all within the mind of everybody. They are all my manifestations, my knowledge, my jnana, my chit. But manifesting as good thought, bad thought, dharmic thought, dharmic thought, as sukha, as dukkha, as fear, fearlessness, as name and fame, and as infamy, everything. So what is it? If you have got some good qualities, don't think that you have earned them, it is your property. No, you opened yourself to me, I just entered into you, I just manifested myself. First let us take up one by one. Buddhihi means that capacity to understand is called buddhi. That's why most of us do not have. So we have to pray, O Divine Mother, O Gayatri, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. You manifest, O Mother, in the form of understanding. When the understanding is right, then knowledge dawns. That is what is telling jnanam. What is jnanam? Right knowledge. What is right knowledge? Asammohaha. That is, I will never be deluded. A tiger is a tiger. A cow is a cow. A good man is a good man. A good food is good food. Bad food is bad food. This is a bad action. This is a good action. This is happiness. This is unhappiness. But we do not have that knowledge. But when it comes by the grace of God, Bhagavat Kripa, through Bhagavat Kripa, we have to understand. It's not my glory. The God is manifesting himself in me. Asammoha. O Arjuna, what happened before? You were overcome by moha. But I am here. I removed your moha. Previously, I manifested myself as moha. That is also my leela. Now, I am manifesting myself as asammoha. Non-delusion. Earlier delusion, now non-delusion. Earlier suffering, now happiness. What are the things? Kshama, the capacity to keep the mind absolutely happy under any circumstances, and forgiving anybody who you think harms, even a circumstance is not at all favorable, and all the sufferings that come through animals, through mosquitoes, through insects, through plants, through natural changes, no. They're all right because of me, because of your karma phala. Kshama, bear with it, forgive everything. You have no enemies, your own bad karma is your enemy, but coming to you through the instrumentality of maybe somebody. He is not responsible for your unhappiness, for your suffering, for your difficulty. No, your own karma. Dosh karo noyagoma, amishvakata shvalile dube murishama. Satyam, if you understand this is the truth, if you understand this is untruth, both are actually my manifestations only. Damaha, if you have body control, you do not allow your sense organs to move here and there. It's all because of me. Shamaha, you have absolute perfect mind control. Your thought, you order your mind. Just think about it. Do not go here and there. And the mind stays put there. And that power is also me. Shama. Sukham, if you are happy, I am manifesting through your karma, good karma. If you are suffering, the same me is manifesting to exhaust your bad karma. Bhavaha, your very birth is your very existence because of my existence. Abhava, if your body disappears, your mind becomes blank, then that is also abhava. Non-existence is absence of existence, not non-existence. It is temporary covering of existence. There is nothing called pure non-existence. Only pure existence is there. This abhava. Bhava means to be. Abhava means not to be. Bhava means to be able to experience. Abhava means our incapacity to experience because it is not manifest. Bhava. Then abhayam. If you are frightened, that's also good. If you are not frightened, fearless, that's also good. The important point we have to understand through this description is everything, positive or negative, is good in its own rightful place. If you are not frightened of for example, a ferocious tiger running towards you, then you will be swallowed within a second. There, bhaya is very good. If someone is trying to kill you, harm you, run away if it is possible, that's very good. But if you see a mosquito and you are quaking, if you see a cockroach, you are squeaking with fear, and if you see anything smallest, something bigger than you are quaking, and in semi-darkness, the branch of a tree is moving, and you think a ghost is running to catch you, and you hear weird noises also in your mind, that is not good. So everything is good in its right place. The whole mental world, sukshma karana sharira, nothing else but my manifestation. Similarly, ahimsa, samata, tushtihi, tapaha, dhanam, yashaha, ayashaha. Ahimsa, if you have developed a quality called non-injury, don't think you developed means what? Previously, you did not have. That means previously, you are doing injury to everybody. Even now, unconsciously, you are doing so much injury. But consciously, you are refraining from hurting, harming, wishing ill of others, etc. That feeling, the spiritual feeling, don't become proud. You have acquired it and it is your labha. No. Out of compassion upon you, I am manifesting in the form of ahimsa. Then samatha, keep your mind exactly same. You gain, you lose, you are victorious, you are defeated, somebody honors you, dishonors you. Under any circumstances, somebody praises you, somebody worships you. We saw this in last Jivan Mukta Lakshanas, Viveka Chodamani. When sadhus worship and evil people, they torment this Jivan Mukta, is never what is called perturbed. Unperturbed like the deep ocean. So samatha, samabhava, not only just looking upon everything as equal, but samatha means samadarshana, seeing everything as the divine lord. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shvapakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. They see God everywhere. I see Leto, he has kept his head above one hand. He is half leaning there. I see God himself sitting in that position. Sri Ramakrishna says, when he was acutely suffering from throat cancer at Kasipur, this comes practically at the very fag end of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Tushtihi, you are always happy. Santushtaha, santoshaha, ever content. Content is the better word. Anything comes, you are quite happy. Tushtihi, tapaha, if you are able to bear some difficulties, that is called tapaha. Tapa means austerity. What is austerity? You don't wish for anything better. What is austerity? If bodily ills come, difficulties come, heat, cold, tsunamis, floods, mosquitoes, locusts, you gain, you lose. You are content because whatever God gives, that is the greatest happiness. Kshudiram, after having lost everything, for a single second, the idea did not come. I had so much. This rogue had deprived me of that. He was ever content. Whatever Rama gives, sometimes he gives me sukha, sometimes he gives me dukha. I am quite happy. And yashaha, danam, if you feel like donating something, do not think that you are great. That idea is given to you by God himself. Beautiful story. I am going to tell you because these are marvelous things we have to understand. There is a story in Bhagavatam, a Bali Chakravarti, and he was so powerful, but he was born of Danavas. He was the grandson of Prahlada. How can he not have devotion? He was the greatest devotee of Lord Shiva. Then, for some reason, God wanted to bestow his grace upon him. So he came in the form of a Vamana, a dwarf. And Bali Chakravarti's guru, Shukracharya, was cautioning him. I know this fellow. He is a crooked fellow. He is a devious fellow. Lord Vishnu himself has come to deprive you. I see a terrible disaster going to happen. Do not give him anything. Bali Chakravarti was doing some special yaga. He says, whoever comes, asks me, especially Brahmins, I'll give everything. This Vamana came and Bali Chakravarti invited him, welcomed him with the greatest joy. And then he said, you are none other than Lord. I see, what can I do for you? This man, Vishnu, says something very interesting. He says, you know, I'm a brahmachari. I'm a brahmana brahmachari. I don't require anything much. Just 3 feet of land if you give, I am more than satisfied. Of course, Bali Chakravarti felt insulted. What? You are insulting me? Here I am a Chakravarti. And you come and ask me 3 feet. That is really, you are insulting my talent, insulting my idea of dana. You ask something, big kingdom. Why kingdom? You want me to offer my whole kingdom to you? I will just put it at this moment in front of you. Again, Shukracharya nudges him. No. Don't be hasty. Don't do all these nonsensical things. You will lose everything. Then Bali Chakravarti. Bali means offering, in fact, in Sanskrit language. Bali. He turns and says, Guruji, I understand your caution, precaution to me. But is there anybody in this world who has ever got this opportunity that everybody goes to Venkateshwara, give me this boon, give me MLA, give me, make me MP, bring a nice son-in-law to my daughter, otherwise Khabardar, you may be my son-in-law, you will have to go through this fate. Everybody begs of God, but here God himself has come to beg of me, and that's why he became dwarf, because a beggar is always dwarfer than the giver. I am not going to lose this chance. Nobody, so far as I know, had ever been offered this chance. So, immediately he says, here is, oh Brahmachari, Bala Brahmachari, you ask me what you want. I want only 3 feet of land. 3 feet? You are insulting me. He says, no, 3 feet is more than enough. You give me what I want, otherwise I will go away. Of course, Balichakra says with sadness, you did not ask much, but here is your 3 feet. Where do you want? Which land do you want 3 feet? He put his whole feet on the earth, first feet. Second foot, he put on the heaven. He covered earth and heaven with 2 feet. And now third feet of land. He says, where do I put it? Balichakravarti says, there is only one place. Place it upon my head. And immediately, Vamana, he places it on the head of the Balichakravarti. What happens? The story goes, he was pushed down into the Patala. But what is the Divine Lord doing? He has implanted his footprints, like Krishna implanted his footprints on Kaliya's hood. And thereafterwards, he is certified, this is a certification, that this is my greatest devotee. He is the worshipper of my feet. Anywhere you see this Pada, immediately bow down to him. Everybody has to bow down, from the Devatas to Martyas to Rakshasas, because they see the footprint of God on the very head. That means God resides in the head of Balichakravarti. And instantaneous, that is called Advaita Sarvam Brahmamayam Jagat. And he attains Purna Abhaya. Abhayam Vai Praptosi Janakaha. Janaka, you obtained Abhaya. I have given you that. This is the Antarartha, inner meaning of this marvelous story. So, O Arjuna, when you see these ideas, what are the ideas? These are the beautiful ideas that if you are giving dana, if you feel that impulse, it's coming from me. If you are praised by people, recognized by people, and your whole yasha, your kirti, your good name spreads all over the world, that's also because of my grace. I am manifesting through you as that name and fame. And suppose somebody blames you, you are the worst type of person. That also only coming from me. In other words, whatever idea that can arise in the mind, good or evil, spiritual or unspiritual, and worldly or spiritual, from the beginning of creation, through the end of these endless creations, it is all my manifestation. So, the inner world is completely my manifestation. What about the outer world? That's what the Lord is going to expound. It will not take for us a longer time, because once we understand, inner world, you see, what do you see? These are the feelings, these are the thoughts. That is God manifesting, consciousness manifesting, pure ideas in the form of vritti. You look at the world as the external bodies, external forms with names, with qualities. That is also none other than me. That external manifestations is what the Divine Lord is going to name. Only a few, because nasti vistarasya antame, there is no end to my glories, because the whole universe is nothing but me only. But I will tell you, for your devotion, for your contemplation, so that you learn how to see God, whenever you see anything great, do not see as an object, great object, see it is the manifestation of God. These beautiful ideas we will discuss tomorrow morning. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.